Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange. We're always glad when you're here today and any day. And if you'd like to take part in our conversations, you certainly can do that. Our phone number is 800-838-3760. Anywhere in our listening area, our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782, and our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Trees and public services are interwoven in Western Oregon. For decades, the federal forest land managed by the BLM, the former Oregon and California Railroad, or ONC lands, gave half the revenue from timber cutting to the counties. When timber cutting was brisk, the counties had plenty for jails and deputies and libraries and more. When timber cutting slacked, services and public jobs took cuts. It stayed slack, or at least slow by historical measures, after the spotted owl listing in 1990. So now members of Congress want to change the very organization of the ONC lands. That is the topic of the ongoing series Conversations on the Forest in the Willamette Valley, coming to Cottage Grove's Axe and Fiddle Pub tonight at 7. And two of the speakers are with us now. Roy Keene is a longtime forester in and about the Willamette Valley and our guest once again on the Exchange. Roy, welcome back.
Thank you.
And good to have you. Kevin Matthews is with us as well. He is a county commissioner candidate for the position in East Lane County coming up in next year's election. Kevin Matthews, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here with you and everybody, Jeff.
Roy, would you give us an outline for the conversation series and tell us how it got started and how it's been going thus far?
The main purpose when we formed the conversation in the forest, this is the 11th conversation that we'll be doing tonight, was to enlarge the debate over federal lands to include private lands. And in counties like Lane and Coos and Lincoln County, we have large components of industrial land, and that constitutes most of the timber harvest. And those timber harvests from larger acreages are excluded from severance taxes, and they are oftentimes largely exported. So we began a conversation to explore the whole forest and the whole harvest rather than just the BLM component. And it's different, of course, in Jackson and Josephine counties where the BLM and Forest Service lands are a larger piece. But you're still impacted not only by your current private harvest, but by past harvest activities on industrial lands. So we wanted to have a discussion that would be fair and equitable and across the board rather than one that was entirely slanted toward what's wrong with BLM.
Which has been your point all along, is that if you're talking about forest ecology and ecosystems, you can't really talk about stopping at boundaries of property.
You have to look at the whole forest, and, you know, the same rules that apply to the ecological integrity of the forest also apply to the economic integrity of the forest. If you want rural jobs and you want prosperity in rural communities, you have to look at the whole forest, particularly those forests that surround those rural communities.
Kevin Matthews, since you're running for county commissioner in a county that has had certainly its issues with declining funds from federal forest management, where do you come down on this issue?
You know, the topic of our conversation tonight at the Axe and Fiddle in Cottage Grove is, if increased logging is not the answer, then what is? And, you know, while as Roy was saying, and as a lot of our elected officials have been really focused on increased logging as the answer both for rural jobs and for funding local governments in the timber counties. So, you know, we have shown in our previous conversations that increased logging doesn't go there. So tonight we're going to be talking about the things that will actually, in fact, help build stable prosperity in our rural communities.
Which would be things like what?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of local upwelling in all these country villages that string up our watershed valleys, local food and agriculture, local manufacturing, technology, specialty tourism that can be very high-end and exciting. And then there's also a set of reforms that we should be making to our timber sector on the public lands. We could probably be generating twice as much revenue for the same number of stumps that we're creating with a series of reforms that we'll be talking about. Our county commissioners in the timber counties have spent an overwhelming share of their economic development attention lobbying for big timber to get access to the public lands, essentially because big timber has drastically overharvested their own lands, and they're salivating over getting into this remaining sanctuary, which is the public forest. We need instead to have county governments working at a grassroots level to build the key enabling infrastructure, like communications. When you're half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour outside of a metropolitan center, the ability to use the internet affordably makes an even bigger difference than it does when you're right in the metropolitan center. And yet, as I travel around rural Lane County, so many areas don't have cell service, let alone access to broadband internet. So that's a basic thing. That's a government function, and the county doesn't have its eye on the ball for what rural residents need.
We're talking to Kevin Matthews, a commissioner candidate in Lane County, and Roy Keene, longtime forester in the region, about the conversations on the forest coming to the Axe and Fiddle Pub tonight in Cottage Grove. And the question again is, if increased logging is not the answer, then what is? You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your own answers to this question, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, and our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Roy Keene, have you seen much in the way of specifics about the proposals that members of Congress from both parties have made about ways to reorganize the old Oregon and California Railroad lands, now managed by the BLM? I certainly got the general concept quite a while back, but I don't know if they've ever gotten any more specific about which lands they're talking about here.
Well, I saw the specifics in the DeFazio proposal and studied it to some extent. There's a lot of loopholes that have historically been misused in terms of dividing up the O&C lands between younger so-called renewable forest and older old-growth forest. You end up in this division with panels and decision-making bodies that are highly biased toward the timber industry. We end up in a situation where the differentiation, for example, between old stands and so-called younger stands becomes biased in favor of carving deeper into mature stands. I mean, really, we live to be 100 years old if we do really well as human beings. We need to have a redefinition of old growth to set with our old definition of old growth is to talk about a time when we had all 52 cards in the deck. And we need a definition of, quote, old growth that is more human and that reflects modern forest management, where we're turning trees over at 40 or 50 years of age. So to call 100 and 120-year-old stands non-old growth is just to give away that mature component to the industry. And we have to remember that it is those 100 and 120-year-old stands that will replace the tremendous volume of old growth that's already been logged out of BLM. I mean, all those years I lived in southern Oregon, and I watched one and two log truckloads come out of BLM land for half of my cruising career down there. I mean, I know at a personal level how hard the old growth forest has been hit, especially in parts of southern Oregon where you didn't have the vast industrial forest to make up the difference.
And let's explain, one and two log truckloads mean the logs were so big the trucks would only fit one or two logs.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the DeFazio proposal, really the devil is in the details, and the details are going to be manipulated by by a very industrially biased panel or by a very industrially biased board. And what we're going to end up with when you go out on the ground and look at a lot of these residual BLM stands is we're going to end up with a whole lot more acres than what they're pitching. So they're talking 1.6 million acres out of nearly 3 million acres of BLM forest. And I would say, having looked at many mapped areas, that we're going to end up with probably well over 2 million acres. And that's before we start making trades. And, you know, that's a whole other great big fiasco, trading and exchanging timberlands. That winds up always on the short end of the stick for the public. I've looked at lots of those. And I'm an appraiser. I mean, that's what I do. I evaluate timber.
And so when we're talking about 3 million acres is the total amount of ONC land, and we're talking 1.6 million designated for intensive forestry?
Yeah, and that number to me is kind of a bait and switch. I'm predicting, based on my reconnaissance that I've done over the last couple of years since this proposal got put on the table, traveling thousands of miles looking at these yellow and green differentiation zones on the map, I'm predicting that by the time the smoke clears, we're going to be looking at more like 2.2 or 2.3 million acres given over.
And have they gotten specific about which lands? I mean, we talk about it says, you know, specifically Grave Creek is in this plan and Jump Off Joe Creek is not. Anything that specific?
Well, it will depend on how these age classes are arranged when they go out and start inspecting things on the ground. And so you take a stand of timber that once had a full complement of old growth trees in it, and over the last 100 years they've pecked out the high-grade Doug fir and they've pecked out the cedar, and you know, that stand no longer qualifies under the classic definition as old growth, yet it is very much old growth. And there are many, many acres that fit that description. And my concern is that those acres are going to be given away rather than preserved.
We are talking about forestry in Western Oregon, specifically about the Conversations on the Forest series that is going to be in its 11th incarnation. Or is it the 12th tonight, Roy? I kind of lost track.
It'll be 11 tonight.
11 tonight. Roy Keene is a longtime forester in the region. Kevin Matthews is a county commissioner candidate. They'll be bringing the Conversations on the Forest to the Axe and Fiddle Pub tonight in Cottage Grove at 7. You can join us here now and talk about the proposals to divide up the ONC lands in Western Oregon for intensive timber management on one hand and, in the other case, for long-term preservation on the other. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Kevin Matthews, you said something a while ago in this conversation about we could potentially get twice the revenue with the same stumps. How?
Well, so you have to look at how federal timber sales are currently run. The timber sales are done with very large areas. That by itself means that only the biggest companies can bid on those timber sales. That results in a minimal pool of bidders. So you have one or two bidders per timber sale. So it's already a failed market. So if we, first of all, broke down the size of those timber sales from hundreds of acres into tens of acres, we could have more local, regional scale players participate, and the additional players would create a more competitive market instead of a market spoon-feeding the big corporations. Second, we could have additional reforms, like rather than just sell a timber sale as a total package deal where the purchaser comes in and logs everything to their own advantage, which we know statistically results in large overcuts consistently on average compared to what the BLM predicts would be cut. Rather than do that, have the BLM contract with logging contractors to cut the trees that the BLM wants to be harvested. Then at a third level of reform, those trees go into a public sorting yard. Right now, when we sell a big timber sale, something like alder, which is going sometimes for over $1,000 per 1,000 board feet on the wholesale market internationally, that gets counted in these jumbo BLM timber sales as trash wood because it's a hardwood, not a conifer. So there's another example of value in the timber sale that the public doesn't realize is pole trees. Simply by going through the forest and marking out the pole trees and carefully taking those and then selling those at a sorting yard, you get full value for those pole trees, whereas right now those are just counted as generic board feet. So you put this wood into a public sorting yard, and then the mills compete on an open market that's transparent to the public for the value of that wood. So that means that small mills, large mills can all get in there and get access to the public forest. So we open it up, we actually create more jobs, we create a more vibrant, more diverse local wood products economy. And, you know, this is really important because we can talk about, as we have been this morning, we can talk about the DeFazio plan and the future Wyden plan and other prescriptions for increasing logging in the public forest. But we need to go back to the question, why do we want to increase logging? The reasons that the claim is that increasing logging will improve prosperity in rural communities. And we have study after study that shows that rural communities adjacent to protected public land are more prosperous than rural communities adjacent to extraction-oriented public land. So, you know, we're going to be talking tonight about some of the details, the mechanics of how that works in terms of how you grow a robust, locally-based economy that takes advantage of the water and the fish and the scenery, creativity, and allows a kind of prosperity in our communities that they have never seen as mill towns for big timber.
And I'm glad you brought up the Wyden plan, because the fact is that there is the House-introduced version, which has the backing of Peter DeFazio and Kurt Schrader and Greg Walden from the Oregon House delegation. And then we're waiting for Senator Ron Wyden to put his plan on the table as well. We're talking about forestry with Roy Keene and Kevin Matthews. Here is John and Vanita. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I've called so many times, Jeffrey, for this topic or periphery around it come up about language.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not using the same language, we're not talking to each other, we're talking by each other. I've been watching this, and I'm a fifth generation Oregonian with logging going way back to the beginning, worked for the Forest Service. I'm currently a cabinet maker. I deal with lumber and lumber products. I'm not against lumbering, mm-hmm. not against logging. But we have got to get this down to where when people talk, they're expected to use the same words to mean the same thing. And old growth doesn't mean nothing but whatever somebody wants it to mean. And like I said last time when that guy was hawking his book, virgin timber tells you what it is. You can't change the meaning of those words. It tells you what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If we want original forest with the myceliums and all the chain of life that's in it, we better start waking up.
All right. Thanks for that.
If you take a little plane ride and look down, you know, you'll see what I'm talking about.
All right. Thanks for that, John. Appreciate a good point. And Roy, this is something you've been talking about for a while, though, isn't it? I mean, in fact, in this conversation, that old growth can mean different things to different people.
Yeah, old growth can be really easily manipulated, and we can talk about that. It's a good point that John made, virgin timber. Now, there's a pilot project right now up out of Myrtle Creek, and the pilot project being supervised by some folks, Norman, Jerry Franklin, Norm Johnson, Jerry Franklin, and they're talking about it working in younger stands. But for an example, playing off what John just said, there's a 120-year-old virgin stand up there. It's a native stand of trees. It's beautiful. It doesn't need any kind of scientific adjustment to be all it can be. It's beautiful. And it's one of the few virgin, uninterred stands up there, and they're going to log that. And part of the reason they're going to log it is because it's, quote, not old growth. It's not over 200 years old. But it's more important to realize those uninterred stands, those native forest stands that have never been logged, are crucial to the ecological integrity of the forest. Those are the connectors. Those are the pieces where there's been nothing lost. Those are the whole intact pieces of the forest, and there's not that much left. So regardless of age, that deserves to be saved. However, that's been sold to Seneca Sawmill here, or no, excuse me, that's been sold to Scott Timber down in Roseburg, and it's scheduled for logging, and at one point even had some tree sitters in it.
We got about a minute left. Let's take a call from Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Roy Keane and Kevin Matthews, Conversations on the Forest.
Hi there. I'm totally against the thing they want to do with the BLM. I think DeFazio and our senator have sold out to the big lumber companies, and the perfect example of that is if they're so worried about the people working in Oregon and keeping mills going, why right now is they're trying to pass a terminal in Newport to ship raw logs overseas from warehousing all these giant people that are also going to get all the BLM land? And it's just totally bogus. You know, that's where they should be putting their energy, not shipping raw logs overseas and then messing with the BLM, which is the only way to really protect the environment and the old growth of the BLM before they give it away with this new process. And I just want to hear your opinion on having that terminal in Newport.
All right,
why
Bill,
don't we work on that? Thank
Bill,
you.
Thanks for that. Roy, got a couple seconds for an answer here.
I was a guest at a panel in Newport, and we talked about the impact of log exports. Lincoln County, from 2009, when exports started ratcheting up, from 2009 to 2012, Lincoln County more than doubled the timber harvest. It went up 108%. Meanwhile, jobs went down 2%. Now, that's the effect that log exports has on a rural county.
All right, you can hear more of this discussion tonight at the Axe and Fiddle Pub in Cottage Grove at 7 o'clock. Conversations on the Forest. Roy Keane, Forester. Kevin Matthews, County Commissioner candidate, East Lane County. Thank you both for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.